Yeah.
I'm excited. It, when we knew Samuel before, he was about half this size. He's grown up. I don't know.
Yes, you can get the microphone. Hallelujah. Everybody can hear me good? Yes, sir. Okay. Ooh. All right, I'm going to have him up here with me right now. Of course, like he said, he's my son, Samuel. But he's also, I mean, the way I look at, I don't want to say the word church. It's such a loose word. The way I look at the things of the kingdom, my family is my first church.
Amen.
It's not my God, though. And I think Americans a lot of times idolize and make their family God. But they are my first priority, after God. All right. So, and I think that glorifies God. So, he is my son, my fleshly son, but he is also my spiritual son. And so, kind of like a disciple. And the key thing about discipleship, and this is the fundamental foundation of what y'all call Christianity. It's called discipleship. Is that what the definition of discipleship is? It's not a course. It's not a seminar. It is proximity. The key main element of what Jesus told those men, come follow me. Live with me. All of those guys got something different from the same Jesus, though. Completely different guys. We can go down the list of all of what they did afterwards, right? So that means they were in the same classroom, sleeping with their pillow as a rock, and they had homes. And during those 3 years and a half, we don't know how many all the days or how many, or we don't know how much they were with him, but we do know that that was a key element. They were with him. That's what the religious people noticed in Acts 4 when they locked these guys up for doing a miracle after Jesus had left. That's what they noted. These are unschooled men. These are not religious. This is not a religious hierarchy. But it's undeniable that this man that's been sitting in front of our religious church, the temple, for 40-something years is crippled, and now he's jumping up and down praising God. And it's undeniable that what they said and what they did, somehow, some way, this man is free and delivered and healed. But it's going to cause too much commotion that we can't understand, that we can't explain, we can't control. And this is what they took note of. These are the guys who had been with Jesus. Didn't talk about their talents, their gifts, none of that. They had been with Jesus. And I'm going to tell you, all of you have the capacity. And I don't want to use, so when you use the word discipleship, it just puts a kind of like a religious connotation on it. No, just spend time with God and spend time with people. You will see the kingdom of God be established in their lives. It's that simple. That's how the church grows. God's church. Okay, so Samuel, like Brother Alan just explained, that we've been living in Mexico for 25 years, and that's where we work. So I'm going to take a brief moment, just kind of give you a visual of some of what that looks like, because we got to dig into some stuff today, and so that's what we got to do. So I had Samuel to pick a couple pictures. I don't know what he's picked, and I told him to explain it to you, and I trust him. So there you go.
Hey, y'all. How y'all doing? I'm going to get down here so I can see this stuff better. Okay. Let's go through the video first, and I'll explain it. All right, so that video was taken, me and my dad were in Nepal. So the place we were at, it's in the mountains, a small place called Gandruk, right? And so we took this bus. It was an adventure, okay? So we took this just rinky-dink bus, drove about 4 or 5 hours into the mountains. We came up on this little town, and we got a hike, right? And I didn't realize at this point in time that in Nepal, there's a big problem in the mountains with leeches, right? So, exactly. So, we got up there. Everything was good. We're eating their food, right? We're being respectable. We are guests in their house, right? And we're eating their food. And I realized, like, I'm itching, but I don't know. I don't think there's ticks up here. You know what I mean? So, I look down and my leg's covered, right? And, you know, leeches, they thin out your blood. So, you know, you pick them off, your blood's like water. It just flows. And so it was quite an adventure. But that was a good time. We had a really good time up there. And I was there with a friend of mine. He's a Marine. And it was a good time because me and him, he's a little bit older than me, but we're still young, right? And so it was good for me and him because we got to live out there with them, you know? Like, some people, they talk about what's going on in different places, but not many get the opportunity to go out there and be in it. And we were really grateful that we were able to go out there with my dad and be a part of that, you know? So that's that video. So we can go to the next. Oh, this is a good one. So this was like 3 or 4 years ago. So that tent right there on that roof, right? We had to carry that out there. It was like a 6-hour hike. And this is a place called Mawakite. And it's a hard hike. You have to basically go down. It's about 2 hours down, 2 hours up, straight up and down, right? These are horse trails that we're hiking on. These aren't like cut out, nothing like that. These are just, we're walking, right? And so we got up there, and my dad had been talking to me before about like wanting to go out there and spend the night, you know, because usually we just go out there and come back. And so I was like, yeah, let's do it. So we just put the tent in the backpack, went out there, and we spent the night out there. And what's crazy is like, you're thinking, why would you go out there, right? Like, what is out there worth spending the night there for? Right? And what's out there is one family. That's it. One man, his wife, and his kids. That's the only people out there. And it's such, what's crazy is like, that experience right there, for me at least, was more powerful than some of the times that I've been with my dad at huge churches. You know what I mean? Because it's so genuine, right? It's like, these people want us to come out there and just sit with them. You know what I mean? They don't want like some crazy, you know, like sky to open up and this big epiphany. Like, they just want us to come out there and be a part, you know? And that's why I enjoyed that a lot. So we did that. Now we can go to the next. Okay, so this is the main reason. As soon as my dad told me I was going to be showing y'all some pictures of like our life and everything, what stuck out to me, what's funny, because I walked in, I saw this, what stuck out to me is unity and family, right? And I walked through the door and I saw this, and I was like, dang, that's cool. So basically, you know, that's my brothers right there, Elijah in the green jacket, Noah in the red, and then my mom and my dad, and I was taking the picture, right? And so that right there, that's unity. You know what I mean? That's family, right? And a lot of people don't understand that in the world we live in, it's cool to, you know, you go on like online and you hear these motivational edits and videos. Everybody's into it now of like, yeah, just go do it yourself, drop off the grid, you know. But it's like, as true Christians, my dad has said this before, we are referred to as family. We strive together because we're in a fallen world. We cannot make it on our own. I underestimated family until I left the house at 18, and I went to Dallas for a year, right? And I realized being alone, like, dude, this is hard. You know what I mean? Like, nobody's checking my back. Nobody's telling me wake up, when to eat, when to work out, when to train. I'm on my own. I get to choose my schedule, right? And I was around people that were not Christian. They were the exact opposite. You know, I was around my teammates in MMA. I was around my coaches. And these guys are so broken, you know, because they don't have family. Like, broken jokers. You know what I mean? Like, hearing some of these guys just spill out their hearts when they're sitting there just drunk out of their minds, just telling me about how their kids hate them and everything. It was heartbreaking. And that's when I realized, like, dude, it was tough. You know what I mean? Like, you grow up in a different country, you feel like you're left out, you feel like you don't, you know, belong anywhere. But I'll tell you right now, I enjoyed it. You know what I mean? Like, I enjoyed it way better than being alone. You know? And so this was the main reason that I chose that picture, is just to, like, break it down to y'all that, like, family is key. It's unity. I mean, I'm assuming that's why y'all put that here. It's like, we're better together, you know? You know, we bleed together, we cry together. If it has to happen a certain way, we die together. You know what I mean? Like, we are a team. That's the reason why the biggest and the best people that are successful in the world were a part of a team. They had coaches. They had brothers in arms. You know what I mean? And so that's the main reason for that picture. We can go to the next. Okay, yeah. So I grew up, you know, eating different kinds of food because we were in a different country, of course. But this is breakfast, y'all. So that right there is bread and coffee, right? And what's funny is, and I realized this growing up, it seems like in Mexico, even with like lunch and their dinner, you eat hot food, but you also drink hot drinks. And that's weird to me. You know, like being up here, it's like, okay, if you eat a hamburger, you're probably going to get like a soda or something, right? Something cold and refreshing, right? Not there. So when you eat hot food there, it's like, yeah, we're going to add on to that little surprise package with some hot coffee, right? And so in the morning, we eat bread. That's sweet bread. We call it pan. Right? That's the Spanish word for bread. And this bread is, you know, it's like, this is like a McDonald's in bulk. That's what that is. You know, you just go to the bread store and you just pay the money and they give you a huge basket full of bread. They go home, they make the coffee, usually while everybody's asleep, right? They make the coffee. We wake up, we drink that, and we get our day going, right? So that's what I wanted that for. Y'all get a little idea of the food situation down there.
Is that it?
Should be one more. Yeah. So this is me and my brothers. So we grew up riding dirt bikes. My dad, like, you know, taught us how to drive tractors, stick shift trucks when we were young, you know. And I really enjoyed learning all that. It's helped me a lot growing up and getting older, being around other people. But that's us on our motorcycles going out to church, all three of us together. I believe that time we were going by ourselves. But this is, once again, this picture, it has a deeper meaning, not because of the actual content of the picture, right? Because the actual content of the picture is just, you know, it's three guys on the motorcycles, you know. But the deeper meaning of the picture is, once again, family, right? Me and my brothers, dude, listen, people have come up to me and my brothers like, y'all act like y'all hate each other. I couldn't even tell y'all were brothers. Y'all just, you know, beating each other up and all that. We've had some rough ones, I'm not going to lie. Listen, we've had some rough ones, right? We've had some bad fist fights. But at the end of the day, and, you know, this may not be like y'all's situation individually with y'all's families, but at the end of the day, with, you know, me and my brothers, we fight and we get into it, and like 30 minutes later, we don't even say sorry. We're just like, yo, let's go get something to eat, you know? That's the way it is with me and my brothers. But once again, it doesn't have to be like that, right? Maybe that ain't the right way to have that relationship. All I know is that it works, and so we use that method because it works, right? But listen, it's just family, right? Family. I was telling my brother this the other day in South Texas because we had a bad blow up. And I was telling him, like, dude, we have the opportunity for two outcomes, right? One outcome, we do our own thing, we become selfish, and everything breaks apart because humans are selfish, right? If one person is doing something and you think they're, you know, messing you over, well, then you have to do something, right? You have to do something to get them back. And it's just not, it goes back and forth until the whole puzzle breaks apart, right? Or, and it's hard, right? This is the hardest decision. And I've learned this from my dad and being alone. You can be the bigger person. And you can strive together like a military unit to become the best of the best. And that takes fights. I don't even like get up here and do this a lot. I did this because my dad asked me to, and I'm happy to do it. I'm not mad that I have to get up here. I'm happy to do it. But since I'm doing it, I'm gonna tell y'all what's on my mind. I'm not fixing to tell y'all like what I think y'all want to hear. I'm just gonna tell you what I think, all right? And what I think is the best people that I've ever been around in my life strived, or whatever the word would be, they made sure that they pushed through all of it together. Amen. And they stayed together, right? And so my biggest thing for y'all today, for me, is just strive together as a family to be better together. Now, thank y'all.
I'm bad about this as a dad and as a husband, springing stuff on people. That's probably our biggest fight with me and my wife. That, you know, I'll be driving for hours and I will have thought about something for 10 hours as I'm driving. It's all figured out in my mind. I've had several conversations with myself. It's like, and then I get to her and just throw it on her like, okay, this is what we're doing. It's the first time her hearing it, you know. But to me, it's like, no, we've already planned this, gone over it, gone back and forth, did all the troubleshooting. You know, it just sprung on her, so I'm trying to get better at that. So that's what I did to him. As we were driving up here, I said, here's my phone, pick 5 pictures and talk about them. And so that wasn't scripted at all. And I guess we're all perfectionists, especially in, when someone's preaching, they call this, I think, public ministry or something. When someone's doing there's ministries all over, right? Like, for example, the people who go visit the prisons, they never get any shine. But they're grind. They grind more than anybody, right? And they show up, and those prisoners are all that they have. I mean, those guys going to the prisons, it's all they have. You know what I'm saying? And it's like such a huge ministry. But those people going to visit are working full-time jobs, getting off, getting in a thing, driving hours, and, you know, there's no shine. So they call what I'm doing right now public ministry. So, and I was going somewhere and I just lost it. Sorry. Anyway, I'm sorry. It'll come back. It'll come back around. It usually does. But it's, So we want to be perfectionists, right? Because most ministers today in this day and age, as far as public ministry, part of it is being professional. And you should be excellent. But when it comes so professional that it's not you, you kind of are doing an injustice to the people. Because you're creating this celebrity type idea of what we're supposed to be that you don't even live up to, really. But you're basically telling everybody that's what they need to be. And no one ever measures up. That's why the biggest and the best, the strongest leaders are always transparent. Jesus never had to come flex and show off anything. He was the most powerful man that ever walked this earth, and no one was scared to approach him except religious people and demons. Think about that. The lepers were outcasts. They were in society. They were outcasts. They were not allowed to intermingle with the people. They would come to Jesus. That's who you want to be. You want to have a standard. You want to have a type of what you live about, what you're living for. But you want to always be approachable. You never want to be, you know, this unapproachable person. And transparency, humility is what invites that. Meekness, Jesus was meek. See, the secular world tries to make you and me think that meek is weak. It's not. I will give you an example. You know a stud horse? Ginormous muscles, big, beautiful, out in the pasture. Beautiful. But if he is not broke and tame, he ain't worth nothing. If he is broke and tame, he's still strong, and now we can use him to plow or do whatever work, whatever we need to be done. But if he's just wild and just beautiful and strong, he's worth nothing. And meek, and the fruits of the Spirit, it's not, have you ever thought about it says, don't be drunk with wine, but be ye filled with the Spirit. That's kind of weird, you know, like why would they put those two in the same sentence? You know, it's like drunkenness is this uncontrolled, you're out of control. That's the thing about being drunk. It's weak because you're out of control. Holy Spirit is you're controlled. The fruits of the Spirit is being controlled in a godly manner, which gives off a lot of fruit. And I just encourage you, because we got to talk about some, I'm fixing to be very transparent with you. I guess I'm basically setting you up, basically. I read a thing on Facebook this morning, and I'm fixing to go off on a few things. Things that are not healthy for the body of Christ. This morning, I didn't know it was Pentecostal Sunday. It is, if y'all didn't know that. Okay, yeah, okay. I don't know. I read this thing this morning. A guy wrote, it says, if you go to church this morning and they're not preaching Acts 2, leave the church. That's so stupid. Your identity, I will tell you, biblically, your identity is a son and daughter of God. You're part of a kingdom. You're not part of a religion. Jesus never came and established another religion. There was a religion called Judaism. No one could actually fulfill it. No one could perfect it. That's the point. It was to let you know you can't. It was always pointing to this Messiah. It was a setup from the Father. He is the only way. And it gave all this imagery of how it would point to him, how he would fulfill these things to be actually righteous, reconciled with God. But you and me and no one else could ever actually fulfill it. We could never gain righteousness through that. Jesus said, I am the way. I didn't come to take it away. I came and I completed it. It's done. Now, new way, new life, and I am the way. And that's what he says. Follow him, right? So, our identity is we're part of a kingdom and we are sons and daughters of God. That's the highest calling. The other things are just different functions inside of the family. Christianity as an institutional world religion loves to, you know, esteem certain positions more than other. The word minister is not really minister. That's not really the first translation of it. That's a more religious twist on it, a polished version. You know what the real original, when they originally wrote it, what it meant? Serve. Servant, service. When it gets to getting, but we're down the road after these hundreds and hundreds of years, and we finally get it in English, though, you've got a religious hierarchy that's got to make it a little more prettier, a little more powerful, whatever, whatever. But in reality, in its original, when it was spoken, it was nothing more than a servant and service. The word is diakonia. It's the word where we get deacon from. And I'm not trying to take I'm not trying to talk down. I'm trying to get up, because like I say, it's a setup. We have to be reduced and come back to our original why. And it hurts. But the pruning is beautiful. It's a God thing. the rebuke in to Ephesus, you know, like this is Jesus in heaven giving Ephesus props, you know. Y'all are amazing. Y'all have done the church thing really well. They were basically, they got the more props than anyone else in there, right, of the seven churches. But he says, I have one thing against you. You've become so professional, you forgot about the why. Go back and do those first things you did, even though you were so clumsy at it. That's what I want, because the why is the why. And it doesn't matter if you're competing with the church down here, down there, the house of Chloe over there, or the house of whoever over there. Because there is, okay, let me just, let's get reduced back, okay. This word church. Man, one time I came to the United States and I saw this, because every time I come to the States, there's always a new fad, right? I mean, I can go through all the, I mean, it's crazy. Every time I've come to the United States, it's always a new fad, which is fine. It's just kind of nature, I guess. But one time I came and I saw this thing that says, I love my church. And if y'all did that, I'm not talking to y'all. Sorry. But from a different perspective, you know, I live in Mexico and I come in the United States and I want to see the United States of America believers be God's church. Like I'm assuming this is a charismatic church right here. Tonight I will be in a Baptist church. It's the same thing for me. I know that we have differences. I probably have differences with you. That really don't mean nothing. If Jesus is the way, me and you can walk together. And we can, me and you in a personal space, we can fight over the little details and doctrines. We can, but it shouldn't get ugly. Because there's no way that you can convince me that these churches in Corinth look like the churches in Berea. There's no way you can convince me of that. There's no biblical evidence at all that you could ever convince me that all these churches were just exactly the same. But nevertheless, there was a sentiment from Paul, we're not divided. We are the church. And he says this. He says, in the house of Chloe, so Corinth was a city. And so right now, your definition of church would be, okay, this group of people, or this 501c3, or this building, or whatever all of it says. No. There's one church. And there's different locations, different structures that you are part of, but that's it. And like I said, I'm setting you up. And it doesn't mean anything of who and how you congregate with. Congregate. It says, do not forsake the assembling of the brethren like some are already accustomed to doing. Right? So, now I'm going to share with you a very sad story for us. And I haven't shared this publicly yet, but about 2 years ago, like our missionary team is not very many people. So let's just say there were 10 of us full-time missionaries, foreign missionaries. Now we have hundreds of churches and thousands of brothers in Mexico, but as far as the foreign missionaries, about 10 families, okay? And about 2 years ago, in a series of events, we lost four missionaries who had been there from 20 years and more. Now I'm going to talk to you from just a biblical, healthy place. How all of us react inside of changes. And I will tell you what I felt in all that time, because there was, of course, you've got that much time with people and all of that and all these different things. You got this opinion over here and this. Oh, it's a million things. So much hurt, so much. And what I got from God was the fear of God. I have to be excellent and do right in all of my relationships. First of all, with God. The people that's here, all of them. I have to be stand up. I can't be double minded, double faith. No, it's a standard. It's full of love. Nothing to hide, but go. But I do stand for this. And you have to do it with humility and love, but with intention. And I just want to share with you the whole thing of, like, the reason why you always hear these words of church splits. No, like, there's one church, guys. There's one family of God. And there's different houses. The house of Chloe, how you congregate with. And you walk with more intentionally, more on a more intimate space. Yes, absolutely. But I want to give you an example. Our brother Luke is the most amazing author. He's amazing. So he's the one who writes the book of Luke, the Gospel of Luke, and Acts, right? And he gives us this church history of what we have, the beginning, right, in the Bible. He writes this. Now, he's the one who has the narrative. He gets to control the narrative. Who is he? He's a doctor. He's the one who speaks more about miracles than any other author in the Bible. Who is he? He has been with Paul. He tells us a story. He tells us the narrative of what happened, not a story, but the history of Paul's beginning journeys. And there was a guy. Now, Paul wasn't the main guy at first. Barnabas was. The guys in Jerusalem told Barnabas to go check out what's going on in Antioch. And when he got there, he heard Paul was at his house. He said, "Man, Paul, come over here and help me." And out of a series of events, Paul just became naturally, he emerged naturally as a dad to those people and as a missionary and so forth and so on. Now, there got to a point, though, where Barnabas' family member, cousin, nephew, cousin, Mark, abandoned, he was a young buck and abandoned him on the trip. And they had a disagreement, and Luke does not take away from that. Now, think about this. Luke has the narrative. He has been with Paul to the end. He's writing to you and me. Have you ever in your life saw anything negative about Barnabas? Nothing but great things. And I say that to say, don't get caught up in church, the American Christian, especially Bible Belt, political mentality, like, oh, it's this, us and them, us and them. Never go that route. There is no us and them. Never. Walk with those who want to walk with you, be blessed, and do it with all your heart. And you bless everybody else. That's how you be blessed. And there is no other way to see it biblically. And I just want to tell you, that's something I had to live, me and my brother. And, it's not easy, but it's part of the process of God. And like I say, you bless others. Okay, now, that's one aspect of what I want to talk to you about. And I want to share that with you just because that's a real thing. You don't have to fret. It's okay to cry. But God is not surprised. And if there's anything that you need to adjust in your life, for one, never look at whoever else. If there's something you need to adjust in your life, adjust it, and let's rock on. It's easy. We don't stop. We just keep going, and we get better. And you have in your heart, like my son said, the concept of family. There's a lot of people who ask me, why do I work in the ministry I work in? And from a negative point. And I tell them, first of all, because I believe God has me where I'm at. And second of all, I'm in love with the people that I work with, the family of God, the indigenous people who I shepherd and love. My coworkers are my coworkers. We don't see everything all the way the same. But there's a mutual why we're doing what we're doing, and we do it for the kingdom. And it's not easy. This guy, last week actually, I was in Jacksonville. Oh, I'm sorry, guys. Let me check this here. Sorry. This is not the usher's fault. This is my fault. I've been playing around with this thing. Oh, good. Last week I was in Jacksonville in the Assembly God Church, and the pastor said he had went on a missions trip, and he's like, "Man, we were kind of blown away. You know, we just thought that missionaries that we went there and we just saw a bunch of, you know, kind of division and fighting, and we just thought, you know, missionaries are some of the godliest people, and they just don't have any problem. They just go to another country and they win souls, and it's just perfect." It's like, dude, no, why would you think that? This whole thing right now, deconstruction, church hurt, no, it's just people. It's just you hang out in churches. And that's where the people, you get hurt at. But that's it. You know, like, I've always told my children, never think that God's the blame, ministry's the blame, or church is the blame. It's just people being people, and you just happen to hang out in church. But that's it. You know, it's like we all have this responsibility to be right with God and do self-inventory every single morning in that secret place. Let the Holy Spirit convict you and be better. Love better. Give more. And I just encourage you with that. Now, it's Daniel. Brother Daniel, can we put up Ephesians 4, starting with 1, maybe 2? Sorry about that. To spring that on you again, man. And because I want to share something. There was two things on my heart. And the first thing was the first love thing, right? I kind of alluded to that right now in Revelation about the Church of Ephesus. And if you don't know your Bible and I'm just talking this stuff, I apologize. If you go back and you want to look up these scriptures, you understand what I'm saying. I'm just not giving an expository teaching right now, because I'm just kind of talking to the family of God and kind of believing that most of you have biblical literacy and so forth and so on. But the whole thing about the first love, that's really on me, because I feel like I need that right now. I know how to do ministry. Christian ministry, I know how to do that. I don't want to waste my life doing Christian ministry. I want to be very intentional about building his kingdom. I don't want to be a good minister. I want to be a fruitful son of God. And that's really on my heart. So there's no other way to do that than spending time with God and people. That's the way. That is our model. Jesus did it. The disciples did it. That's the way you do it. You can't cheat that. You can't cheat the process. Now, but it doesn't make sense in corporate Christianity, because corporate Christianity kind of has followed American consumerism. And it's like, no, we need to get the biggest bang for our buck. So we kind of want to skip some processes. We want to use a microwave instead of, you know, doing it from scratch. We want to plant hybrid seed instead of perennial. But God told us, or Jesus told his disciples, you didn't choose me. I chose you, and I chose you to bear fruit that remains. Fruit that gives fruit. Does that make sense? If you plant a perennial seed of corn, it grows, it's slower. It's not as big, it's not as beautiful. But you know what you can do? When you harvest that corn and you shuck it, you can take that seed and you can guard it. You can store it for a year or more. And then you can take it and sow it, and it'll give more fruit. That beautiful stuff you get in the package that's already red, that's already got fertilizer and insecticide on it, it plants. Oh, it's beautiful. It's big. But you cannot store it, and you cannot replant it. But it is faster and better in some sorts. But it's just not fruit that can keep giving fruit. And you and me cannot cheat the process, so let's just stop. Let's not compete with any other church. Let's come back to these family fundamental core things and build on that, or remodel, or however you got to do it. Come on. Okay, so I want to point out something. Because after going through this, so I've been doing this for 25 years, right? And of course, all through the stages of my walk with God, You know, there's been times where run, 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 win the whole world. Now get them, you know, everybody functioning the gifts and everybody biblical knowledge and discipleship and all of these different stages, right? But I realized later on in life some of the most powerful spiritual things among believers, seasoned believers, is how they interact with each other. How could, like, you'll realize that the epistles, they weren't like giving instructions about how you're dealing with outside sinners. When they say love one another, they weren't talking about how you're out there evangelizing. They're talking about drama in the house, how you react, to the point where John is so heartbroken, he's talking about murder. And of course, when you're young, you're just like, man, that's just Christian literature. So, you know, like, it don't hit home because you haven't lived it, right? You haven't lived of like walking in covenant, having to make the decisions to do right, be humiliated. You know, everybody wants to say, be humble, be humble. Do you know what? Humility never feels good. Only until you get the wisdom like James told us. See, James is an elder, the main elder, the half-brother of Jesus. Wasn't an original disciple, wasn't an original apostle, wasn't a believer in the beginning. But he ended up being the head big dog in the religious church of Jerusalem. Those guys that were trying to persecute, you know, Paul. And he writes the Proverbs of the New Testament. 5 chapters. Some of the most fundamental Christian things that are so spiritual. Some of the most spiritual things you will ever experience is when you return back to the fundamental gospel. You can go as deep as you want to go with him. But we know what he writes to us in the beginning, right at the shoot. He says, you know what? When you find yourself in all these diverse trials, tribulations, all this chaos, count it as this wonderful, great joy. Why would he say that? Because he says, when you go through this, you got to see the big picture. And the big picture is, once you go through that and you react the right way, he didn't say you weren't going to be hurt. He didn't say you were just going to shine. No, no, no. He says when you react the right way, you're gonna gain something, and it's called patience. And with that attribute of patience, you gain everything. But see, when you can walk in life with that understanding, then you get to see it from a different perspective. You ain't entitled. You ain't tripping about someone doing you wrong. Jesus looked at them guys, man, you ain't killing me. I give my life up. I could call down thousands of angels and murder all you Romans. You ain't doing nothing to me. I give my life up because it's my dad's plan. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's a different perspective. Like Peter's, you know, they say he got crucified upside down because he said, I ain't even worthy to be crucified like my Savior. That when they came out being tortured and being persecuted, they were rejoicing that they were persecuted in Jesus' name. That's a different mentality, guys. You know, with that mentality, you're not sitting there trying to protect your rights. That's one of the... I love America, but then there's so many things that in America that it's anti-kingdom sometimes, and we get them kind of confused. You should stand up and live and even die for the right things of God. But you should never fight to just be more selfish. Like, to be one of the top dogs in the world is cool. And we should use it to bless other nations and to build the kingdom of God. Do you realize how many missionaries were sent out from America? And now it's changed. Asia's sending out a lot of missionaries now. All these Arab countries are sending out missionaries. Like, it's crazy. And we've kind of stopped doing it and kind of just self-devoured a little bit. No, we need to go back to that. sending to the nations and focusing on home at the same time. But so here in Ephesians, we're going to hear Paul's, now you realize Paul had spent years in Ephesus. And we just heard about the church of Ephesus, how Jesus talked to the church of Ephesus about, hey, man, y'all have done so great. You know, you started in this persecution. You're one of the main, because they became one of the three big, I mean, you know, it was Jerusalem, Antioch, and Ephesus was the big three back then, you know. And that's who, you know, Paul sends Timothy back there to make sure things are in order, right? I mean, if you want to know about Ephesus, there's a lot to know, right? There's just so much to know. But Paul's in prison right now, and at the end of his life, he's going to write something as instructions to the church. And you and me, as charismatics, we're going to think, man, win all the souls, oh, do all these miracles, oh, da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. And yes, there were so many miracles that happened in Ephesus. Why? Because he went daily to the synagogue and taught from the Old Testament, the gospel. How boring could that be? But he turned a city upside down for the gospel. And at the end of the day, at the end of his time, he writes these powerful things that we, me and you, kind of just gloss over because it's like we've been so Christianized, it don't even have meaning no more. We've read so many Hallmark cards, seen so many Christian coffee mugs, bumper stickers, that it just don't mean nothing anymore. Maybe some of us need to take a trip to the Gaza Strip and help out a little bit. Maybe you need to sit on a plane like I did with this Ethiopian Muhammad. Go to the Himalayas and talk to these Hindus. We need a reset, man. That's the whole thing. In common terms, in modern day English, the thing that I told you about in Revelation, that's what he was saying. Jesus was saying, y'all need a reset. Go back to your first love. I don't need you to be professional. I don't need you to be professional. I'd rather you be clumsy and just doing it for the right reason. I need to be in love with Jesus, y'all. I'm talking to you. I'm talking to me. I need to, like, look for him. There was a time where I looked for him in the spirit. Like, look for him. I'm not saying that as an allegory. I'm talking about look for him. Like, I want to see your image. I want to smell you. I want to feel you. I need you. And so Paul talks about these very powerful concepts, because at some of your ages in Christianity, this will be some of your biggest feats. And what does it say? Ephesians 2. Always be humble and gentle. To practice that inside of chaos, in church chaos, is the most strongest thing you could ever do. Be patient with each other. Now, when it says be humble and gentle, you know what that really means? Let's go application now. When you hear something about yourself that's not right, take it on the chin. Have a strong chin. Develop a strong chin. Take it. You've got the grace to take it. Jesus said, I give grace to, well, he says, God gives grace. You know what grace is? Grace fellowship. Grace is something that you never worked for and deserve. It's a gift from God. I give grace to the humble. But to the proud, the guy who wants to defend himself, I myself resist him. You want to be pushed on and resisted by God? No. But we got a for sure win if we humble. And you know what happens when you humble? You die. The biggest part of us that needs to die daily is that ego. My ego got murdered this last week. because I was working with other leaders. We're all volunteers, and you basically got to have decided to come together with other strong people's opinionated people and humble yourself because you're in their lane. You ain't in your own lane. But man, that ego gets murdered. Best thing for you, but it don't feel good. So I guess what I'm saying is learn to be mistreated well. Learn to be talked about and work on your response. God bless them. Pray for them. I can give you some simple solutions. The moment you feel that offense trying to root in bitterness, just start praying for them. I'm telling you right now, God will bring that grace on you immediately, and you'll find a miracle. And it won't be because of you. You know that. You know you. But if you let that grow, you die. And the worst part about it is, you know the worst kind of bitterness it is when you're in the right. When you're in the right and you've been wrong and you got that offense, that's the scariest and most vulnerable type of offense because you feel justified. But nevertheless, the end result is you die. And I'm not saying this in Christian theory. I'm talking to you about stuff that I've had to do, had talked to my wife to do. And you know what? You're never going to get away from offenses. Jesus said there will be offenses. Be patient with each other. Make an allowance for each other's faults because of your love. Next verse. Okay. That's enough. That's enough. Y'all, you can read it. Y'all know what I'm saying. But it goes on basically to say what my son said. He didn't know he was going to say that. Or he didn't know that I was going to say this. And it's basically these next verses that talk about striving and fighting for the bond of the unity of peace. So it's intentional. That's what I'm saying. It's like, oh, well, I'm just going to wait till they talk to me. You know, sometimes you got to give, I mean, listen, me and my brother, we are very close. I don't know if you're going to find another siblings that are closer. Like me and my brother are very close. We live in the same town. We work the same mission. He works 3 mountain ranges there. I work 3 mountain ranges there. Our families are close. My kids been living with him the last week. We've been sleeping. You know what? Me and him been sleeping in the same bed the last week, guys. Yeah, I know, brother. Because there was no other room. We had guys sleeping on the floor. We're all in my mom's trailer. And me and him had to share a bed. So there you go. We're close. But there's times that me and him know that there needs to be a safe space so we can continue to be close. I know that I'm going to get on his nerves. He knows he's going to get on my nerves. We know we got family. And there's a safe space to continue to walk close. It don't make sense, right? That means like, well, if you separate some, how are you walking close? Well, because it's the end game. We're in it for the marathon. It's not a sprint. And like I say, it's just being vulnerable with y'all again. I get mad. He gets mad. We all get mad. There's a way to react, and you have to have God to be able to react the right way. It's not about you being wrong. It's always about your reaction. Because God's glorified in that. And I'm telling you, you absolutely need God's grace to react the right way. And the ones, and like I say, just be available. Be vulnerable, be available, but stand for something. I'm going to tell y'all something. In the world right now, there's tons of young men joining Islam. Why? In prison, same thing. Why? Because on a world stage, the Muslims show that they stand for something. European, American, and Canadian Christianity, it's a joke on the world stage. I'm not talking about you specifically. I'm talking about on a bigger scale. The way the little guy in Kazakhstan, the young man in Russia, the man in Korea, the way they see it on a world stage, like those Christians, they just go with whatever political agenda is there. These Muslims, they don't look right so much, but at least they stand for something. And now people are going also to the Orthodox. Because Putin slammed modern Protestantism. He's like, man, you don't stand for nothing. And young men want to follow something that has a standard. And I'm saying to y'all, we need to look like Jesus when it comes to love and holding a standard. There's a way to love and meet everybody where they are, and there's another way to walk in your personal responsibility. I roll and I get along with everybody, but when you step in my door, there's a certain way that I got to be responsible. Period. And if you can't see that as love and responsibility, I'm okay with it. I will meet you wherever you're at, though. I hang out with drunks on the corner all the time. But they know when they come to my door, come up in my house and with my family, we're going to do something different. I don't feel like I'm better than them. I feel like by grace, I have been saved. That's it. But I could go on and on and on. I love y'all. I always feel like this is a family. I've always felt like Brother Allen, for sure, when I didn't have anywhere to share the God or preach, you know, as far as itineration, when I first started, he welcomed me with open arms. And from that day forward, has always let me be a part of what y'all are doing. And I have watched it, you know, all the year when y'all were in the small place over there on the hill. And then just the evolution of everything. And if you woke up today and you say you love Jesus and you want to follow me, you're winning. That's it. I love you, and I want to see you completely strong and fruitful with 2 or 2,000. It's the same. Thank you.
She's getting old, aren't she?
Yeah, and everybody makes fun of me. These are girl glasses. Listen, my brother works on a reservation, and somebody blessed their ministry with a bunch of reading glasses, so I take them to Mexico and give them out. But these fit me great, and I like them, and everybody, they're little girl blings, you know what I'm saying?
They look good.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, he was so young. When I first met you, you were young.
To the point where my mom was like, no, I have some. We'll trade this. That don't look good on you.
They look good on you. Okay. You got it?
I get it.
All right. I want to do something. As I hear Chris talking, you know, I think of 25 years with him and where he was at and why he's here now. And I've watched, if you're not friends with him on Facebook or on social media, you should be. I keep up with what's happening in Mexico and Nepal and all that, you know, and because he's very faithful to put what's happening out there. And so I keep up with him. But there's one thing that, and it wasn't intentional. They put these words up here, and this wasn't, it really wasn't. Even I didn't even know he was coming till he came, basically, and told me, hey, I'm going to be there. We're family. And it brings tear smiles when I think about Chris. I mean, you know, I'm not very demonstrative. He hugs a lot. If you're around him, he's going to hug you. But I hug him, sort of. I try to. I usually reach for the wrong side, but it's okay. Here's the deal, guys. Would y'all put the offering thing back up on the screen? Can you do that, you computer people? Thank you, Alex, for serving us, serving the body. They're here this week, and I believe in family. I believe that American culture is just one culture in a big world, And one of the things we have in America, and it's just such a huge honoring to God. That's one thing I think, even going and doing family night on Wednesday night, starting June 12th, we're going to do prayer ground with the kids. We're going to have everybody. I told y'all last week, it's true, I wanted my sons to grow up around you. And we did it on purpose, and we were intentional, and we serve each other, and we serve the community. And I know it's like we're for every church in Cabot, and every church in Cabot knows we are. We believe in the body of Christ. But one thing that when Chris and Jody, and I didn't know Jody was here. He's here, huh? He's not very photogenic. I didn't see him in the pictures. But, I mean, he could be photogenic. He's just not in a lot of the pictures. But they're building a house for their mom. And see, in America, we don't even like, that's not how we think, but it is how we think. And, you know, I think we should take care of our parents. I think we should. I think children should honor their mothers. I just had one real rule in my house, and it was you don't be disrespectful to your mother. And I'm not going to tell you the consequences of that, but it just never even happened, not one time in our home. And I think as a body of Christ, one of the distinct things about us is we really do believe in the way God set up family and honoring fathers and mothers, and they're doing something. And I don't want to embarrass Sandra, but they're building her a house. And if you watched on social media, you already got it in the dry in 1 week. How much longer are y'all going to be here? Just 2 more days? Yeah. Yeah, they're going to have to come back and finish. But they found out something on this trip, and you guys that are living here in the States know this. Everything went from this price to that price. Sorry. I hate it. If food, at building materials especially. And when he told me they were building that house, I was like, we're going to take up an offering for Chico. And usually it's for him and his ministry. And he supports lots of people in Mexico. But this right now, before we leave, I want to give us as a body. And you don't have to do it now. You can go online and do it. You can scan that QR code and you can write a check. You can put it in the box in the back. There's envelopes back there if you wouldn't want to do cash and put your name on it. I want us to get a chance to ask the Lord, can we help them build a house for their mom? Can we help them? I don't like being emotional. Stop it. Okay, so it'll be nice. I'll fake smile. It'll be nice. I felt this from the Lord. Jesus said, just give me a chance to speak to people how they should help. That's all I'm asking. We're just going to ask the Lord to speak to you. If he speaks to you to help, you can do it online on gracefellowshipcabot.com. You can do it through the QR code and secure give. You can write a check. You can give cash. But either way, we get to help. And I think it's the kingdom of God. You know, it's a big deal. So I'm just going to pray. We're going to wait a minute. And you get to hear the Lord. And then respond. And if you need to do it later in the week, Lisa will watch for it, and you just write on there, you know, Brother Chris Atchison, Chico. If you write something on there, you can even write Mexico on there, and I think Lisa could figure it out. We'll make sure the money gets to the right spot, and we'll just help a little bit what they're doing. And they had, I don't know how many, it looked like 10 or 12 people helping build that. They got it in a dry in 1 week, and they work like dogs, and it was hot last week. So it's going great. I was so proud of when I saw it. So let's pray, and I believe you can hear the Lord, and just let's ask Jesus what you think you should give. So God, I just thank you for Jesus, you said every time we take communion, you drink. And it's my blood and my body. God, I thank you that Chris and his family that we all share the same blood. So Jesus, would you just speak to each one of us how we can give, help our brother? Okay, so whatever you heard the Lord say, it matters. No matter how big or how small. So I just want to thank you for being here this morning, and this is a strange ending. Let's all stand up. I know, it's like, oh, well, that's okay. Look, I have a paper towel. That's really convenient. Nobody hit me. I cut my lip shaving. I know when I saw Scott today, he's seen this on people's lips before. He said, man, I saw the looks. Guy's like, somebody got you, didn't they? And I'm like, no, I actually did it to myself. So God bless you guys for being here today. And thank you, Chris. Thank you, Samuel. Last time we saw him, he was here not too long ago when he was little. So so thank you, guys. God, y'all take an opportunity to meet Chris, greet each other, love on each other. And God bless you guys. Have a great Sunday.